Thank you, Becky and Rich. We appreciate that so much. And we appreciate worshiping together. It's good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? I'm going to move myself up here a little closer to you. You know what that means? I'm coming to get you. The gentlemen that are passing out these little information sheets, pay no attention to them. They mean nothing at all. Actually, they are notes for the sermon so that you can take it home with you. We've had it on PowerPoint, and often people say, can I get the PowerPoint? Because I couldn't write it all down. So this morning it's written down for you so that you can have it, and I trust you'll take it home and study these things. We are looking at walking with Jesus, what it is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin the Christian life, often we progress and then we forget some of the basics. And so this summer we're going back to basics of what it is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and how to live the Christian life. Many of us think we know, but we lose some of those important basics, so we're going over them. This morning we're talking about how to enjoy prayer. Now, as I approached that subject, I looked at it first as how to pray. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, a lot of people know how to pray, but they just don't enjoy it. So let's talk about how to enjoy prayer. So we're going to include a little bit of how to pray, but also how to enjoy prayer. So join with us as we look at the Word of God this morning. We're reading from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is that Sermon on the Mount, that first introductory sermon that Jesus gave His disciples. It was foundational to everything else that He taught. And we're going to begin our reading with verse 5 rather than verse 9, just to give you a total perspective of what Jesus is saying about prayer. When we come to verse 9, that's the Lord's Prayer. And it will appear on the screen by magic. And if you don't know it, have never memorized it, we encourage you to read it off of there. If you already know it, you don't need to read it. And I would caution you, sometimes people get mixed up in the Lord's Prayer and they say trespasses instead of debtors. That's because it appears both in Matthew and Luke. It's just a translational difference. The words are the same. And so as we read the Scriptures, we're going to join together and pray the Lord's Prayer together. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, stop right there. But you, put your name in there. This is not written to a congregation generally, it's written to us specifically as individuals. Jesus says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. This is your cue. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning as we approach your word, we approach cautiously and with that holy awe. Lord, this is your word. And when you spoke the word you, you were speaking to me, Dick LaFountain. And if there were no one else in this world, that word is addressed to me. Help us to take it as directed to us personally, not generally. Lord, our prayer this morning is teach us to pray and teach us to enjoy prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. most people pray. Most people in our society today know the Lord's Prayer, but even beyond Christianity, most people pray. Someone has estimated that 90% of the population, when asked, say that they pray. Pagans pray, Muslims pray, Buddhists pray. Every religion on the face of the earth prays. But there's often the cause among us as Christians that we do not pray. That is, we do not pray as we ought to pray. We don't pray frequently enough, fervently enough, and we certainly don't pray and enjoy it enough. There are a couple reasons why Christians don't pray, and you won't find this on your PowerPoint, but you will find it in your notes. And I want to note it because many times we look at ourselves and we excuse ourselves for not having an adequate prayer life, for not praying enough. One of the reasons people do not pray is that they don't believe. They don't believe it does any good. They've prayed a few times and they've given up on it. And so they say, it's hopeless. I'm not going to pray. Such was the case with Huckleberry Finn. One of my favorite authors is Mark Twain, and he always has his tongue in cheek as he writes. And he writes with mockery about the church and our exercise of prayer. But I think in his disrespect for our prayer, he speaks to our hearts. I'm going to read a portion of Huck Finn to you. All right? If you've never read it, this is your chance. It's from chapter 3. Well, I got a good going over this morning from old Miss Watson on account of my clothes. But the widow, she didn't scold me, but only cleared off the grease and clay and looked so sorry that I thought I would behave for a while if I could. Then Miss Watson took me into the closet and prayed, but nothing come of it. She told me to pray every day, and whatever I asked for, I would get. But it weren't so. I tried it. Once I got a fish line, but no hooks. It wasn't any good to me without hooks. I tried for hooks 3 or 4 times, but somehow I couldn't make it work. By and by, one day, I asked Miss Watson to try for me, but she said I was a fool. And she never told me why, but I just couldn't make it out. I sat down one time back in the woods, and I had a long think about it. I says to myself, if a body can get anything they pray for, why don't Deacon Wynn get back the money he lost on pork? And why can't the widow get back her silver snuff box that was stole? And why can't Miss Watson fat up? No, says I to myself, there ain't nothing in it. I went and told the widow about it, and she said the thing a body could get by praying was spiritual gifts. This was too much for me. But she told me what she meant. I must help other people and do everything I could for other people and look out for them all the time and never think about myself. This was including Miss Watson, as I took it. I went out in the woods and turned it over in my mind for a long time. But I couldn't see no advantage to it, except for other people. So at last I reckoned I wouldn't worry about it no more and just let it go. Ain't that the way it is? We hear teachings on prayer. We read the scriptures of God's promises of prayer, but often the believer has tried it and says, there ain't nothing to it, don't work. And so we give up. We don't believe that God answers prayer, therefore we don't pray. Unless we're absolutely desperate and there's no other way. We also don't pray because we're in a hurry. We are in a society of hurriers, people that are busy. Busy about many things and about nothing. We are busy so much that we complain that there's no time to do the things that we have to do, and we certainly don't have time for that thing called prayer. People don't pray because the priorities are messed up. They don't pray because they have a preoccupation with other things. Other things are more important than prayer. Now, I could ask some embarrassing questions right now about your own personal prayer life. Do you pray? Where do you pray? How long do you pray? And do you pray consistently day after day as Jesus taught you to pray? Truth is, many preachers don't pray. I've been astounded over the last 15 years as I've interviewed pastors. And I've interviewed college professors that work in the arena of college chaplaincies and asked them to share with me their disciplines of prayer because I genuinely wanted to know. And almost without exception, I find them hanging their heads and saying, I don't pray as I ought to. I don't pray very much. Lastly, people don't pray because they've never learned how. And I suspect even with college professors, with pastors, and with evangelists that don't pray, part of the reason that we don't pray is we don't know how to pray like we should. We have never been taught some of the basics of prayer. We have some misunderstandings about prayer, such as the misunderstanding that prayer is talking to God or talking at God. Like Huck Finn says, it's like talking to nobody. You're saying these words into the air and there's nobody there and nobody responds and nobody says anything back. So we get the idea that prayer is just talking and those that pray best are those that have the most words. And so we go to prayer meeting and someone prays for 20 minutes. We're impressed. They know how to pray. Comes our time to pray. We have three words and we say, I give up. I don't know how to pray. But prayer is not talking at God. Prayer is not telling God all the things that He already knows. Prayer is communion. Prayer is fellowship with God, like two lovers meeting in secret and talking all about life, about everything, and leaving nothing out. Most of us need to learn that prayer is our fellowship with God. We tend to think that our fellowship with God is going to church, but it's not. You see, prayer is the only way that you fellowship with the Father. And you do so on a regular basis. And so this morning, I want to bring you some lessons of prayer that are very basic. And I want to encourage you to pray more. I don't care where you are in your growth on prayer. We always need to be growing more and learning more and understanding more about prayer. So we're going to start with the simplest prayer. The very, very basic prayer. And if you pray not at all, learn to pray this prayer. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer that is the pattern that I'm about to outline. But there is a simpler prayer that Jesus talked about. It was a sinner that stood on a street corner. He heard the Pharisees pray their long and pompous prayers. And the scripture says that sinner wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he took his fist and he hit himself on his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that man was justified. You see, that man learned how to pray the simplest prayer. The simplest of all prayers breaks down into three parts. If we can rephrase that, God be merciful to me a sinner, it would be God, to me a sinner, be merciful. Three parts of every prayer that we pray. And make it a part of your daily discipline. You'll find you're increasing in knowledge of prayer. The first is this, praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says, enter into His courts with thanksgiving, into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. God says the way to enter into His presence is not to come with a list. God, I want you to do all these things. I want you to get me some hook, line, and sinker so I can fish. Now He says, come into His presence first of all with praise and thanksgiving. If we learn that, prayer becomes more enjoyable. The second thing we do is we come confessing our sins and surrendering ourselves to Him. Jesus said it in this Sermon on the Mount, in the Lord's Prayer, that we ask His forgiveness for our sins. We ask for His cleansing and we surrender to His kingdom. In John, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a problem in the church today that sometimes we as Christians misunderstand our positional standing with God and think because God calls us righteous because Jesus died in our place and His righteousness is given to us, that we are righteous no matter what. My friends, I want to give you an announcement. Listen up. We are not given Teflon righteousness. That sin doesn't stick. You see, when sin comes into our lives, it sticks. And until God removes it, until we confess it, it is not removed. It sticks there. And our righteousness becomes unrighteousness. That's why God came to the church. Jesus spoke to the church of Laodicea and said, "What? Don't you know that you're blind and naked and needing to be clothed?" That is, they lost that cleanness, that righteousness, and they needed to be freshened up. We as God's people need to be freshened up in prayer. The third thing we pray in the simplest of all prayers is our petitions and our requests. Philippians 4, 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That is, at the end, as we come in praise and thanksgiving, we come for cleansing before the throne, then we come with our petitions and requests. We talk to God about everything in our life. That's the simplest prayer. Not complicated. It's easy to learn. In its very simplest form, it's, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The second thing I want to teach you, or try to teach you this morning, is a little more lengthy. And it is the idea of having a daily devotional time with God. I call it the 9-minute devotional plan. Every day, every believer is called on to meet with the Lord Jesus. If you've fallen in love with Him, He has cleansed you from sin, then you need to get with God. "Oh, but Pastor, you don't know my schedule." You're right, I don't know your schedule. But Jesus said, when you pray, get into your closet, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Jesus said every believer needs to have that prayer closet and that prayer time. So I want to encourage you to do that. No, you won't start out with thunder and lightning, but you need to start out simply so that you learn to do it. How many of you are so busy that you cannot find 9 minutes in one day? Raise your hand and I'll ask the Lord for an excuse for your absence. Somebody's going to raise their hand. I know they are. You're not too busy. There's something you can shuffle, something you can move out of the way to get 9 more minutes. Years ago, I struggled with not having time for prayer, so I began to use the 3-minute egg timer. And I really believe that God taught it to me because I'm a simpleton and I need simple things to instruct me. And so I began with that and said, "Lord, I want to dedicate myself to prayer for 3 minutes. And so I turn it over and you watch the sands. Now, one thing I'd like to do that's part of my sermon, but I won't, is just to stand here silently until all 3 minutes are done. It takes forever! 3 minutes isn't much. It's a blink of an eye. It's usually a song that is sung is 3 minutes or more. And we say, "I don't have time for that. I don't have time for 3 songs for God every day." And God says, "That's baloney. You have the time. You don't give Him the time." Somebody says, "You didn't give me the time of day." What's that mean? You didn't pay attention to them. And God says, "You didn't give me the time today." So I want to challenge you. If you don't pray at all, you don't have the discipline of prayer, begin with this. 9 minutes of prayer each day. Find somewhere to do it. You can do it in the morning. You can do it in the evening. You can do it at lunch hour. I find sometimes when I'm so busy, the only place I can do it is in the bathroom. You know, people give you a 9-minute bathroom break. They really do. They never question it. You excuse yourself at the office and say, I'll be right back. And whatever you say to excuse yourself, you know, nature's calling, whatever. But nobody's clocking you. But you time yourself sometime. You're probably gone from anywhere from 5 to 9 minutes. Some of you are gone 20 minutes. Used to bug me when I worked in the factory because I never got the breaks that other guys got. All the smokers got smoking breaks. Do you know how long it takes to smoke a cigarette? You better not. I don't know either. But I suspect it probably takes around 3 minutes. And I want to challenge you to take the 3-minute intervals, 3 of them, and give them to God each day. Total of 9 minutes. Not asking 10 minutes. Asking 9 minutes. And it will transform your prayer life. I guarantee it. How do I know it? Because it transformed my prayer life. I've done this now with hundreds of people, and I've found that every one of them that puts it into practice comes back reveling and rejoicing and saying, wow, what a stupid little idea, Pastor. But it's changed the way I pray. No longer does it feel like I have to spend an hour before God, and before the 9 minutes are up, I'm saying, oh, Lord, I wish I had another turn. I wish I could spend another 3, another 6, another 9 minutes. Here's what I want you to do with your 9 minutes. The first 3 minutes is pondering God's Word. My mom and dad taught me to do that every day the Word of God ought to be opened, and my eyes ought to see it, my mind ought to read it, and I ought to digest it. It's food for my soul. It takes about 3 minutes to read a whole page of the Bible. If you're real, real slow like some of us, it might take you a bit longer. But in that case, get yourself a wee little Bible and read the page. I have a little Gideon Bible, and I think I can read that page in about 30 seconds. Don't make excuses. What does Nike say? Just do it. God calls on His people to get into the Word. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. It's by His Word that we remain attached. So every day the Bible needs to be opened. Every day you need to read a portion of Scripture. I'm not suggesting you have to read a chapter a day. I'm not even suggesting you have to read the whole page a day, but you need to read a portion of Scripture. Next week we're going to talk about Scripture. Now I'm going to give you a 40-day plan for reading Scripture and making it really exciting for your life. But can't give it to you this week. You've got to come back next week. Those of you that are visiting, you can pick it up on our website. But take a portion. I don't always take a chapter, but I take a portion of that and I look at it and I first bow my head and say, Lord Jesus, speak to me. I need to hear your voice. Prayer is about listening to God. And so for the first 3 minutes, you flip that baby over and you start reading Scripture. Now, it doesn't mean you read for 3 minutes. It means you read and reflect for 3 minutes. We need to read the Word of God so that it gets into our minds. And then we need to meditate on it so it gets into our hearts. That is, we need to take the Word we've read and pour over it and say, oh, Lord, what are you speaking to me? We just read a portion this morning that didn't take 3 minutes to read. That's an adequate devotion. Take that and reflect on it. Say, oh, Lord, teach me something about prayer. And out of the Lord's Prayer, you pull something out. The last thing I suggest will help you occupy your 3 minutes if you're really frustrated that 3 minutes is too long, then get a journal, a little notebook, and write out your prayer to God. I found it's a tremendous way for me to express my thoughts to the Lord. And I just pray about that word that I've read that morning. I pray through it and I say, Lord, I don't know how to pray like this. And I really want to know how to pray deeper. Lord, help my prayer life. And I go through it and I usually fill out about a half a sheet. But then I leave it. That's all part of prayer. It took 3 minutes. Then when that's done, and it's not done yet, you flip it over and you go to the second part of your 9 minutes. And that is praise. You know, God inhabits the praises of His people. You want God's presence in your life, surround yourself with praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 100 urges us. David knew how to worship God, and he said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. That is, we as people should not be worshipers only on Sunday. But every day we ought to worship God. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, one way is to sing a song. You sang some great songs this morning. How many of you knew the Sweet Hour of Prayer? You've sung it before. You heard it before, okay? How many of you never heard it before? I'm sure there are a few. But take any song at all that glorifies the Lord, any song that brings praise to His name, and sing it to God. Like I said, you could use up your whole 3 minutes in one song. What a wonderful way to pray. To pray praises to the Lord. But not only are we to pray the praises to the Lord, we're to exalt His name. That is, as I'm reading the Lord's Prayer, I might pick up Our Father in Heaven. And then I can think about Father. And I can say, oh, Lord, You are my Father. You are my Daddy. Oh, pick me up in your arms. I love it, Lord, when you carry me. I love it when you tell me how much you love me. And you could just tell God how much He means to you and what His name means to you. And also give thanks. Not just praise and not just His name, but give thanks for all things. I call it give thanks for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We don't often do that, do we? We've got this cheated mentality that says, God cheated me out of a blessing, therefore I can't give thanks. But Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not, what? All His benefits. You see, every good thing I have comes from God. Doesn't matter if I've been cheated out of a blessing or feel like I missed a blessing or God didn't answer my prayer or like Huck Finn, I didn't get what I asked for. You certainly got plenty to be thankful for. So be thankful. Man, 3 minutes goes so fast. And then there's the last 3 minutes. You flip it over and then it's petition time. You see what changed about your prayer life? 2/3 of it is not you focused. 2/3 of it is God-focused. That's where enjoyment comes in prayer, where you learn about the Lord and you learn to be in His presence and you sense His presence and your heart is filled with fullness of joy. Now the last part, the last 3 minutes, when you're ticking down thinking, God, I got to get in the car and go to work. Now it's time for your petitions. Here's 3 petitions to ask. Number 1, confess your sins. What, you don't have any? Then let me come over and visit you for a while. We'll find some. Can we walk through this world without getting stained by sin? Can we watch television without our minds wandering and being defiled? Can we look at a billboard? Can we have a conversation with somebody without griping and complaining and sinning against the Lord? And that, no, we cannot. Daily, our garments are spotted by sin, and they need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. They need to be cleansed. And so when we come to God, we come to Him for cleansing. Let me give you some coaching here. When you come to God for cleansing, don't ever ask, Lord, forgive me if I've sinned against you. It's kind of like blanket cleansing. You know you're dirty. You know you got splattered. You know your mind didn't do what it should do. You know your lips have fouled up. Don't tell God, if I've sinned, forgive me. It's because I have sinned, forgive me. And in this I have sinned. And you tell God the sin. And when you do that, there is a wonderful cleansing that takes place. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, not blanket, but each one, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a wonderful feeling to be free of sin. Then you tell God about your troubles. You don't have any troubles? I'll tell you about mine. Everybody's got troubles. Walk around the church today and start a conversation with somebody. Say, how are you? And the first response will be, oh, I'm fine. But then if you get closer, you'll start to hear the complaints of the troubles that life brings. Well, there's nothing wrong with sharing those troubles, but have you shared them with the Lord? Have you shared those troubles with the Lord who cares about you? That's why God gives us prayers, so we can take these things to the Lord and lay them at His feet and cry out and say, Lord, this is my situation. No, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'm going to eat worms. We all feel that way from time to time. We need to let it all hang out. Lastly, we need to ask specific things. What are you coming to God to ask for? I urge people to be specific in your prayers. If God is leading you to pray about a thing, He's saying, what do you want me to do? Tell me how you want me to answer this prayer. And when we're specific, God will give specific answers and our praise will even be greater. 9 minutes of prayer is up. You can go on your way, not feeling guilty for the rest of the day, knowing that you're in the presence of the Lord before you meet anybody else. It's a wonderful experience. Lastly, I want to coach you in enjoying prayer. Now, this is going to take me another half hour. So if you have to leave, Carl, lock the doors. Now, I'm going to go quickly through it. But I want to coach you in this because none of us are perfect in prayer. None of us have the epitome of a prayer life. None of us have the perfect prayer life. And so we need to coach each other and encourage each other in the enjoyment of prayer. Let me suggest some things that will make your prayer life more enjoyable. Number one, practice quiet. Practice quiet. Now, I don't do a 9-minute prayer meeting because the first part of my prayer is always be still. God says, be still and know that I'm God. And I'm a busy person. I have a busy mind. Marilyn says I can do 2 or 3 things at the same time and never get confused. The older I get, the less I could do like that. But many of you are polyphasic like that. Many of you are multitasking. You do a lot of things. And to get into prayer, God doesn't want you doing a lot of things and praying. He wants you just to be quiet. We need to be quiet. Marilyn's mom has a wonderful expression for her devotional time. She says, I need to have my quiet time. Marilyn's mom is quiet all the time. So when she goes into her quiet time, it really you know, our society is against quietness. Go out and sit in your yard for a little while and listen to all the noise. It's almost as though we're afraid of quiet. It brings fear and loneliness. Therefore, we have to have the boombox or the TV or somebody else to talk to. And God says, I'd like you to learn quiet. Make that part of your prayer life. Learn it. You won't learn it all at once. It won't happen in one day, but begin to set aside some little time every day, maybe just 3 minutes, to be really quiet and listen for God's voice. I use the 3-minute timer. That's my second suggestion. If you don't have one, if you can't find one, if you're too poor to buy one, can I say the church will buy one for you? No, I'll buy one for you. If you're too poor, and it would break your bank to pay 89 cents. This one costs $3.99 because it's wood. But you can buy a plastic one for 99 cents or 89 cents. Get one. Start to use it. Make yourself use it on a regular basis. It disciplines you in ways that nothing else can do. Third thing I'd suggest is journal. I've already suggested that twice, last week and this week. Journaling is important. All the Psalms were David's journals. How do you think David's prayers ever got into the Bible? Did he sit down one day and say, let me think, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write down all these prayers. No, it was a compilation of all the prayers that he had journaled in his book. They were his personal and private expressions to God. We need to do that. And if you have a journal and you put your prayers in it, I think it would be a good idea to put it in a locked place. Because if you're going to be honest with God, sometimes you're going to say some things in that journal that you don't want everybody to know. My wife, hopefully, does not snoop in my journals. You don't, do you? Never. I have a huge drawer somewhere in my house in which are journals from years gone by. And the other day, I took the time to go through some of those journals. You know what happened? I ended up crying. Wow, what a basket case that guy is. But you know, after all of that, I look through and I say, I'm sure glad I'm not there anymore. I've grown, and God has blessed me. He takes us through our troubles. Journals help. Next thing is to meditate. Meditate. Now, I don't mean crossing your legs and making some strange form and then going, You see, the world's idea of meditation is thinking about nothing. God's view of meditation is focusing only on Him and thinking about Him. Did you ever think about God's creation and just let yourself think? Well, thinking comes along with getting quiet. So if you're not quiet, you probably don't have time to think either. But we need to go out in the backyard and study the ants. Yeah, as part of your worship. Do it as part of your devotional time. Sit down. Where's Luke? Was it Luke? One of the kids in the school here got a hold of a magnifying glass. And I noticed every day he was out having devotions. He got out there in the parking lot, and every day you could see him going, gotcha. And those of you that are men know what I'm talking about. He magnified those suckers until they blew up. That's not what I'm talking about for prayer. Prayer is getting close up to those little things God created and looking at them and seeing the order and the wonder of God and just standing in awe of Him saying, Lord, thank you. Wow, and you said, I'm much more important than these ants. Do a spider, watch the birds, but get out and meditate on God's creation. Next thing I would suggest is have a plan for your prayer. You don't have to adopt my plan. There are plenty of people's plans. You've heard the old acronym ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. That's one. I've given you two today that you could use. But have a plan in prayer. If your prayer time is only spattering before God, you're not even focused on anything. You just come to God and say, whatever, whatever, I don't care. And it doesn't matter if He answers. No wonder Huck Finn sees Christians and says, it don't work. See, we need a plan in prayer. Plan your work and work your plan. I coached Pastor Paul with that, and hopefully it's catching on. A failure to plan is a plan to fail. If you have no plan for your prayer life, it's going nowhere. Next thing is schedule. Schedule. Most of you have calendars and day timers and Palm Pilots and all kinds of ways to organize yourself. And I ask you a question, is God on your schedule? Literally, is God on your schedule? See, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and everything else will fall in its place. But you say, no, everything else first and God is last and I don't have any more room. What we need to do is take our day timers and pencil God in. God needs an agenda. He needs a time to meet with us. He needs to be put on our planner so that we can really say when we answer the phone, I'm sorry, I can't meet you at 2 o'clock because I have an appointment. Do you know that I tell people that when I have a prayer appointment? That's an appointment. They don't need to know what appointment it is. When I have an appointment with God, it's more important than the appointments I have with you. That offends you. I'm sorry. But I go to the throne of God for you. And therefore, it's all of our benefit for all of us to schedule God in so that we're praying for ourselves and for others. Quickly, we need to schedule some days of prayer. This gets a little more in your growth. Have you spent a whole day in prayer? That's a scary thought. 3 minutes, Pastor, is scary. But as you learn to pray, if you set aside one day every month, maybe it's only 2 hours out of that day, but it's an extended time to get yourself before God and stretch yourself in prayer. Oh, I remember those first days I tried that. It was panic. Scared to death. 2 hours of prayer. Are you kidding? You know how many flips of my sand timer that is? That's more than I can count. But you'll finish that and say, wow. I never spent that much time with God before, and it was good. If you're more experienced in prayer, spend a whole day or a half a day and just have a vacation with God. I call it a God soaking. It's like dancing in the rain with Him. Lastly, go on a prayer retreat. I've taught that here, and many of you have taken me up on it. I've taught it elsewhere, and other people come back rejoicing, saying, this has transformed my life. To spend an overnight, an evening with God and all day the next day and just soak up His presence is life-changing. How's your prayer life? Are you enjoying prayer? Or are you praying more and enjoying it less? God made prayer to be fellowship with Himself. It ought to be fun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've got a long road ahead, and every day we need to learn more about prayer. And I began many years ago to ask, Lord, teach me to pray. And I still ask it. Lord, teach me to pray. And I thank You that You're teaching me and teaching us, and You're making it more enjoyable. And I pray for those, Lord, that perhaps don't even have what they could call a prayer life. There's no discipline. There's no order. I pray for order. I pray for discipline. I pray for desire. They will want to be with You. Bless our prayer lives. Bless our fellowship with You. Bless our relationship to You, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with a song. I'm going to ask you to stand, and perhaps you know it and perhaps you don't. It's an older chorus, and I've heard it sung several ways. You sing it the way I sing it, and we'll be all right.